Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with our buddy Rob Tribble filling in for Carl. It's funny, I got a text from my old vocal therapist after I had vocal cord surgery. This is back like 7 years ago.
Right, I remember that.
And yeah. She's listening, so hi to Lynn. He used to work over at Emory. And she goes, go easy on the pipes, man. She heard the first part of the show, apparently. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm getting it together. It's just the more I think about things and the Falcons and where we've been, and you start to think, as you said earlier, about all the cumulative nonsense we've all had to deal with as fans. I just feel my temperature starts to rise and the vocal range. I start screaming.
I hate
yelling.
That I care so much. I hate that I let this team affect me so much. Yes, I have a versatile life. I have a lot of different interests, this, that, and the other. But this team just seems to always toy with my emotions, and I allow them to.
No, we're the Jets of the South.
Yeah,
Falcons are the Jets of the South.
Oof.
That's where we're living.
Oof.
That's where we are. Now, again, everything changes, and we're not going to relive Super Bowl 51. We all know we're all watching it. We're all there. We saw it. But, I mean, that changes the trajectory of everything. Hell, Dan Quinn might still be the head coach here. But it's just – it didn't. And we've just been this joke ever since. You know? And so 7-10, 7-10, 7-10 now, either most likely 9-8.
Most likely.
You know?
But
that's not where we're supposed to be living.
No.
And, again – I've already debated it. We've talked about it. I still think, and I will die on that hill, that signing Cousins and drafting Penix was the stupidest thing we've ever done. Just trust your instincts. If you like Penix, just draft him. And spend all that money on your defense.
Because what is the rookie quarterback's best friend? Ask Matt Ryan about Michael Turner.
Correct.
Michael Penix
we've got
comes
the
there
best,
with...
Right.
Got the best running back duo in the NFL, if you ask me.
I'm with you. And it's funny, just to take you behind the curtain here, Rob has mentioned it for Carl. We were just joking around off the air. And I'm saying, man, I'm like, this is it. I can't try to be glass half full. I've never tried to be glass half empty with this team. I've always believed the worm will turn. My childhood, it started with my dad saying, anybody can root for the Yankees. You're a Mets fan. Now, again, I've been here 26 years, no longer a Mets fan, but I grew up with it because my father told me. And same thing with the Giants. When I was a kid and watched with my father, watching as a 10-year-old, Joe Pisarcik fumbled the ball away trying to get it to Larry Zonka, and Herm Edwards taking it to the house.
Scoops it to that. Yep.
Yeah. Dick Vermeil and the Eagles go to the wild card.
Yep.
I mean, and my father saying, someday they'll win. And if you had told me when I was a kid the Giants would have won 4 Super Bowls in my lifetime, I said, no way.
No
way. No way. And I'm not greedy. I went to FSU. I've got 3 natties in my lifetime. Yeah, I want more. I like this program to not have the worst year in 50 freaking seasons. But I'm more pragmatic about it. But with the Falcons, I'm getting dragged to the dark side by people that I have to deal with every day on social media who go, same old Falcons. I'm not buying in. I don't believe it. Every summer.
And you defend them until you get tired of defending them.
And Rob, we were just saying, Rob's like, oh, he goes, come summertime. Rob says, you'll be back in the positive energy side.
And I will. I know I will because I always am. That's just how I roll. For whatever reason, no matter what torment and cruelty I have to endure the prior season, I go into the next season, wow, I kind of like that linebacker they drafted in the 3rd round. Oh, look at this.
Right.
Very optimistic about this team. Look at the running game. And certainly, Ra's going to figure out what mistakes he made last year. He will not make them again. And I'll be optimistic all over again. And this time next year, I will still be feeling the same way I do now, which is crestfallen, at a loss for words, and learned helplessness.
Yeah, I just, we were just kicking it around. This might be the season that breaks me as a Falcon fan. Like, I got my season tickets. I paid for the personal seat license. You can never recoup your investment anyway. It's one of the greatest hustles in professional sports.
Oh, good Lord.
We're not the only ones who do it. It just is what it is. But, I mean, I live for this team. I was born and raised and bred, conditioned to pull for the underdog and to stick with it. So I will stick with it, but this is about as tough as it gets. This makes no sense. And a veteran coach, a coach who's been a head coach before, who's been on those NFL sidelines.
How long has he been on an NFL sideline? 25 years?
I mean, well, they talked about his time going all the way back to when Shanahan was coaching with Washington.
Yeah.
He's well respected. Everybody was talking about Ra when he got the job. Everybody was like, oh, it's so great. Ra got another chance. You know, and look, we debated the beginning
of this. I was on board with that too. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's been around.
Certainly, he's learned.
I just thought I was not enamored with Belichick. I know there's a lot of guys out there right now with their arms crossed, going, "Well, Belichick wouldn't do." No, Belichick would not do that last night. He would not do that before.
Again, game management will not be an issue.
We got scared at the end of the first half, and we got scared at the end of the second half. I mean, or we just blew it. It's a choke, Rob. Everybody knows it. We choked. Raheem Morris, in a moment, choked. And we'll ask him about it, because the explanation.
How do you feel about that word, choke? Because I try not to.
People throw it out there. That's the definition of choke.
I think last night was.
I mean, we know it, and Rob just touched on it. We don't use it lightly, especially when it comes to the teams that we talk to and cover. Yeah. That's a choke job. And I'll say it Thursday. I mean, look. The worst case scenario, people get mad at you. You want to have a relationship because we try to get as much information for you, the listener. Right. But at some point, you just got to call it like it is. It's one of the greatest coaching choke jobs, and we are very familiar with coaching choke jobs in this city for going back to the days of Lehman Bennett.
Lehman Bennett, the prevent defense against the Dallas Cowboys, prevented you from winning.
Right. It's beyond.
By the way, that's still the most painful Falcon loss, and even more so than 28-3. Right. For some reason, because they had been nothing.
Right.
Their entire tenure here, and all of a sudden, and that was the year they would have won the Super Bowl that year. I'm always convinced that team would have beaten Oakland.
I remember talking to Jeff Van Note when I first got here and talking about those teams, and the Cowboys were always their nemesis. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, let's get to an NFL blitz. Hey, man, it's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedicalCenter.com. As promised, Arch caught up with a guy that I thought did a great job, Bijan Robinson. Then they basically put eight guys in the box and stopped the run game cold, which really made it even more frustrating that we tried to run the ball when we finally got the ball in the third quarter. Everybody knew that was the time to do play action. That's on Zach Robinson. But you can't blame Bijan. He toted the mail. If you're a fantasy owner, he put you over the top, the most likely in your championship. And more importantly, a great guy in that locker room and a leader. And here's Bij with Arch.
Tough win today, Bijan. I know you're happy just to be able to have a chance to do this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, first giving honor to God, you know, and the son Jesus for, you know, just letting us have an opportunity to play for him out here in front of a big stage. And, you know, everything that we do is for him. And, you know, I just honor him for everything that, you know, he blesses us to do. I just want to just thank God for everything. To your question, it was tough. This was a must win for us. I believe like God has plans in life for us and our team. And, you know, we're not done doing what we're doing. You know, we still got one more game. Obviously, like, we'll need some help, but, you know, I have complete faith that, you know, anything can happen. You know, we just got to look at this game right here, and obviously we fought as a team, but, you know, we still came up short.
Yeah, tell me about the first half. You guys really controlled the game on the ground. You and Tyler really had it going. The offensive line really had it going.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we pride ourselves in. Getting that run going, and then it opens up everything else. Obviously, it was tougher in the second half just because we only got out on the field one time in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, like, we didn't have that many opportunities, but. You know, for us, like, when we get that run game going, you know, really hard to stop. And, you know, I just credit all the offensive line. You know, those guys right there are, you know, elite, and they're just lethal. And you got Charlie and Ross and Kyle and Drake Mooney, Red just going off and doing what they're doing, and it helps us in the run game. But, you know, we help them. They help us so we can help them in the pass game as well. But, man, I know it was definitely a tough loss for us on that.
I talk about how quickly you get into rhythm. It seems like you're in rhythm on the first play, and which you were again tonight.
Yeah.
But how much did it affect you guys from a rhythm standpoint in the second half? Because you didn't see the ball for a long time.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was tough in the second half. You know, any team that gets on the field for one drive in the third quarter is definitely tough. You know, obviously we want more opportunities, and then in the fourth quarter, you know, just some little things happen. But we still fought. We still, you know, try to get in the end zone so we can get a win. But I mean, obviously, like, we fell a little short to it. But we want the momentum. We definitely wanted that momentum if we had more opportunities. But obviously, you know, that's not how the game worked.
You are a young player. It's just your second season. But you got another guy that's his first season playing quarterback with you, too. And I know you have a lot of respect for the other guy who's playing quarterback, but now Michael's in the game. Tell me about how impressed you are with his poise. And, you know, you had two fourth down conversions that final drive to get back tied.
Man, it was huge, man. Like, you know, having him back there is just, you know, it gives me a lot of confidence. It gives all of us a lot of confidence because, you know, he's just a guy that, you know, stays calm, stays collected. Like, You know, everything that he does with a purpose. You might think, like, bro, do you, like, care? But, nah, man, he's locked in all the way, all the way. And, you know, obviously, you know, this is a great learning game for him, for him being his second game. And, obviously, this is a big game. But, you know, I think for him it's going to be more so just continue to get that experience and gain that confidence, because I believe when he does, it's the sky's the limit for him.
All of us that played the game have one of those moments where you go watch the tape the next day and you think, oh, no.
Yeah.
The play was the double move where you ran the slogo. That's a touchdown, and he missed you.
Yeah, man, I mean, obviously, like, we've been working on that play a little bit in practice. Yeah, man, that was one of them plays where we're just like, whoa, like, because we had him. I had him on that double move, or the safety, like, nickel corner.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was like, as soon as I got him, I was like looking for the ball, but he threw it. I was like, I gotta go try to go get it. But we'll keep working on that play and keep perfecting it so we can get another opportunity for it.
B, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
He is such a great guy. I mean, there's a lot of good dudes on this football team. It's Dukes and Bell with Rob Tribble in today for Carl. And, you know, Carl and I always enjoy, think about Bijan. It's not just when we're, like, doing, like, scheduled interviews with him. We'll get a chance to chat or see him in the hallway at Falcons. He's just a great guy. And that's a guy you want to see, you know, advance and go on and have an amazing season like this.
Well, he's got Matthew McConaughey mentoring him on his acting career. They're big buddies.
Good dude, man. So there he is. And, yeah, that was tough. Look, Penix missed him. He overthrew there.
Missed Drake London in the end zone,
was wide open and overthrew it. Those are moments. But he still came together and gave you those fourth down plays where they converted, and he gets the ball into Kyle Pitts' hands. I mean, look, we've been thinking, and we always felt, look, if you're going to take this guy at four, he's going to be the red zone warrior, the guy who solves all our red zone woes. And at least for one moment that night, they got him in the red zone. He throws a dart in there to Kyle Pitts.
We didn't really get to see him run a whole lot last night. I know he's not a Lamar Jackson-type dual threat or even Josh Allen, but he's mobile enough and athletic enough, and it's polar opposite of where Kirk Cousins was.
A couple guys hit us up on the text line saying, hey, man, why don't we use Rodrigo Blankenship? Because he hasn't been in football for 2 years.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
Yeah, the guys,
he's posting on social media.
There's a rogues gallery of bum, washed-up kickers, and I'm sorry, that's what Rodrigo is right now. Yeah. Everyone loves him, loves the specs when he finally got the scholarship from Kirby and all that, but he hasn't been a consistent, effective NFL kicker.
There's a reason why.
Right. Yeah. And the dude last night, whose name I will not mention, is a journeyman. That's why he's picked up here. He's bouncing around practice squads.
Third team this year.
And that's what you get. You get a guy who, when we see now in the current NFL, you know, what used to be considered a really big long shot, we're used to seeing kickers making 56-yard kicks. And the ball was tracking. When's the last time you saw a kicker, unless it was a 70-yarder at halftime or something, come up short like that?
Not on that type of kick anymore.
No. And when it was tracking, you and I, everybody else?
I mean, it's like the shooting ranges of NBA players now with the three. That's the same way with kickers.
Right.
50-yarders or layups now. They should be.
A lot of guys say, agree with us, Rob, saying, Mike, you're on point today about Ra. And, yeah, there's moments where players need to step up. The D'Angelo Malone interference. Look, I thought that's ticky-tack. We've seen it. It's affected games. It affected ours. Judon was pretty good. The Jimmy Lake stuff. We'll talk all about this. Blunt Truth hits us up. Why can't we ever get the coaching staff that knows how to coach in game day? Morris seems not to be able to do that. Time management not good right now. So wasn't a fan of his pick to be head coach. I think there were better candidates. Well, we discussed, and we'll continue that discussion. We'll come back. Award some game balls, no balls. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Talk about the winners and losers.
I'm going to tease my game ball to the Jews on Christmas.
Thank you, Rob.
Coming I will tell up you next. Why next.
It's so hard to be a Falcon fan. Hard. You know, you had
harder than being a pimp.
You had the ball for, like, you know, no time at all in the third quarter, in the second half generally. So when you get the ball, thanks to your defense getting a stop, let's speed the game up. Let's not give your quarterback a chance to maybe just matriculate the ball another 10 yards closer into this bum journeyman kicker's range. So, I don't know. The more you think about it, national media is on it. Everybody who covers the NFL is talking about it. Raheem Morris looked like an idiot last night. Their words, not mine, but I'll say it. He looked like an idiot. Now it's my words, said by me. You know, it's just, this is just so frustrating because we knew that Penix was going to have some growing pains. We get that. And you had to get him in there because, look, and I dealt with a lot of stuff last week, Rob. I don't know if you heard this when you were doing the show or weekends, but, you know, guys, we're a little revisionist on Kirk Cousins. Yeah, we know Kirk Cousins was a 2-time offensive player of the week. He's one of my favorite guys. I had a bromance with Kirk Cousins until, like, the Monstars took his skills away. Yeah. The guy couldn't do basic quarterback stuff. They had to go to Penix.
It's a no-brainer.
Thank you. Levity and brevity from Rob Dribble.
Well, they, like I said, I always thought when I was watching the Charge game halftime, I go, why don't they make a change here? That'd be ideal
that was
to make a change here.
I've said it a million times. You control it. Don't worry about the whatever the front office is going to say, Ra. You just say, look, you needed one play, one spark. And you say, hey, Kirk was having a tough day. He's still my quarterback. We thought we'd just change it up. And that's it. And if the, you know, the media, it's not like we're in Chicago or Philly or Boston. You get three follow-up questions, you're on to the next issue.
Yeah, right.
You know? But no, we couldn't. And then maybe Kirk, you know, look, I don't know. You feel that knowing that Penix was in the bullpen, that we know that Kirk never expected them to do this on draft night, and the fact that he gets into a bit of a slump, and knowing that Penix is, everybody's going to be clamoring for Penix, is further exacerbated.
I don't think it helped.
Tightness.
Yeah, he's only human.
Right. And look, I'm excited to see Penix. I'm all in with Penix. I just, my argument was, and I apologize to folks who didn't follow it then and can't follow it now, it's one or the other. If you think Penix, I said to him, I go, hell, man. You know, you could have done a stopgap and got. I asked him, I said, why don't you go get Fields? And then it makes it, you know, then you can still get the draft and no one's going to snake you. And by the way, if you earmark Penix as your guy, we found out from one guy, at least one person who covers the Raiders were never in for Penix because of the injury history, whether that's right or wrong. One journalist's opinion. But it just seems.
No, what did Michael Penix in his letter to all the GMs say?
Saw that. Yeah.
You can check my knees all you want. Check my EKG.
I got the heart, got the Valentine right here. Red hot blood coursing through my veins. Like Penix. Congratulations on getting engaged, by the way. And including that and other subjects, including guys who didn't get the job done, it's time for some game balls and no balls. On Dukes and Bell. Let's start with no balls. I'll go with game. Let's go positive, then we'll go negative. Start with the Chargers, who, if you didn't see it, man, just drop that. You see that game, any of that game with the Chargers? Just dropping the hammer, everything going their way?
Everything going their way. And look at Ladd McCaughey over 1,000 yards.
Let's give him a game ball.
No balls.
Oh, God.
Game balls.
Takes the snap to throw. They rush four. And takes a shot downfield. Has McCaughey caught. Touchdown! Chargers! Ladd McCaughey fly that plane back to the sideline. Chest bump on Darius Davis. You called it, DJ. His second of the game.
Dare I say, on the Chargers radio network, and again, what a dude. What a guy running routes and just doing everything. Even he gives the football to the kid in the Charger uniform. This guy's all the dogs. Bowers, we'll get to him in a second. Just kicking butt at the next level.
And that's why you're wondering why. Well, there's nobody to throw to in Athens now. Well, you lost two now 1,000-yard receivers in the NFL. That's going to have an effect.
Unbelievable game that went to overtime. Look, they're holding on, hanging on. I would love to see some way the Bengals can make the playoffs. That would mean the Broncos have to lose on Sunday or this weekend. Here's Joe Burrow. T. Higgins was on fire. Game ball.
Game balls.
The Bengals trying to win it from the 3-yard line of Denver. Burrow looking to throw his pass. It is caught by T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Over. It's over.
Bengals. And the final playoff spot in the AFC will not be decided until the final week of the regular season.
I wish somehow they could. They're not going to get in. Too much has to happen for the Bengals to get in. But Joe Burrow, he's playing better almost anybody outside of Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
I mean, if you did not have this team looking so bad defensively, he would be certainly the number one. I mean, like, you could argue he would be right behind Lamar Jackson ahead of Josh Allen for the MVP. And I still think it's Lamar Jackson's to lose, but certainly a lot of folks are banging the drum for the Bills. The story is Brock Bowers, guys. Unbelievable, man. Breaks a 63-year-old record, his first 16 games as a pro. Talked about 77 yards, gives him 108 receptions for 1,144 yards in 16 games.
Ditka did it in 14.
Ditka did it in 14. Well, Jim Brown did a lot of stuff in 14, too. But Ditka's 61 rookie tight end mark. He eclipses that. We did talk about, you know, Kyle Pitts when Matt Ryan was throwing the football to get to that 1,000-yard mark. But this guy is on fire. Brock Bowers, game ball.
Game balls.
O'Connell could not deliver the pass as he was grabbed and then floats it to Brock Bowers, who passes Mike Ditka. 1961, Mike Ditka, 1,076 yards. Brock Bowers passes Ditka. The 1,088 receiving yards, already the most in franchise history.
And look at the quarterbacks throwing to him this year, too. Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder, who's the other guy? Yeah, McConnell.
Yeah, we had we had our guy here, of course, Desmond Ridder, you mentioned. I said this to the audience on Friday's show. if you go back, you're looking for some parallels. It's a different position. But Roddy White had his 1,000-yard season with, in no specific order, Byron Leftwich, Joey Harrington, and Chris Redmond.
Yes.
And that's comparable to that list you just mentioned with the Raiders.
They kept bringing back Chris Redmond. He was selling insurance. They kept bringing him back once every 3 years.
That was Bobby, that was Bobby the Weasel Petrino's guy. But, yeah, that's an amazing, again, testament to Roddy. By the way, Roddy on Twitter last night going, call the damn timeout. I mean, everybody was on it, including Roddy. Hey, man, one more. I got a couple more in time.
I got a couple more just off script. Okay. Go ahead.
First off, let's go to Baker. No doubt that they were going to smoke the Carolina Panthers, who we'll see next week. Baker Mayfield on fire. Mike Evans coming off the injury. Game ball.
Game balls.
First down and goal from the one. Pass the left side. Caught ball. Mike Evans. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Buccaneers get a touchdown. Throw from Baker Mayfield. Evans has two.
Think about it, 2 years
ago. Gene Deckerhoff on the Bucs radio network.
Gene Deckerhoff, been around forever. And think about it, 2 years ago, Baker Mayfield was playing scout team defensive line for the Panthers.
Yep.
And he goes out and throws five touchdowns, gets them yesterday.
Dude, I mean, he's been money. We actually, I told you, when we were down there for the game and we beat him down in Tampa Bay when Cousins makes an unbelievable throw to Darnell Mooney. Yep. We saw him in one of the, what was it? Oh, it was American Social. He was in there down in the Inner Harbor area in Tampa. And he is, he does look a little shorter in person, like people say about me.
I mentioned Jews on Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Deserves a game ball. My girlfriend, Stacy. Jewish.
Game balls.
Yes. First night of Hanukkah was Christmas night. I go over to her family's place. They had the most amazing spread. They had the prime rib.
Oh.
Smoked perfectly, charred. Had the brisket, the latkes, the food. It was probably one of the best spreads ever. So,
nice.
Game ball to the Jews on Christmas.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very unique Rob Tribble game ball right there. Back to the NFL. Dude is going to rush for 2,000 yards and may eclipse the single-season record against his old team. Not that Eric Dickerson wants to see it. Game ball, Saquon Barkley.
Game ball.
Saquon Barkley. He needs 18 yards for 2,000. 18 yards for 2,000. Can he get it this afternoon? Maybe his last chance.
It may be his last drive.
I hope not. They go to a pistol formation. It goes back to Barkley. Barkley breaks the tackle. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He is at the 25-yard line. He is down at the 25-yard line. Let's see what he has right now as he goes to the 25-yard line. He has just broken the 2,000-yard rushing mark.
Yes.
That's Merrill Reese.
Yes,
fly, with the Eagles, fly. Hey, one more game ball, and we got to go with a guy who gets, when's the last time you saw a dude get doused with beer and everything else, and then on the lifted on the shoulders of his teammates, making $10 million this year, and lighten things up. And now a tough decision for that front office of the Vikings. Game ball to Sam Darnold.
Game balls.
Darnold out of the shotgun, takes the snap, swings it to Akers, turns it up to the 10, to the 5, touchdown! With his third touchdown this season, and Minnesota responds beautifully.
So what do? Do you franchise him? Talking about Darnold?
Yeah.
He's crossed into $50 million a year territory now the way he's playing.
Everybody's waiting for the shooter drop. He does throw a pick, but he also throws three touchdowns and 375 yards. Has his best day as a pro. I mean, you got a great coach, a great offensive staff that gets him. He's got great weapons, and it's a hell of a story. And you got J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings, so it's a good problem to have. Kind of backed into that, not what they were expecting, but it certainly has worked out. And now we switch to no balls, starting with Coach and his explanation of what the heck happened.
No balls.
Probably could have. You know, I thought we can get to the line of scrimmage with our operation, be a little bit faster there, get him there without going on the fast and our ball, try to save that timeout. In hindsight, could have been a good decision or a better decision to take that timeout, but I wanted to have the opportunity to move up there. So, like, you know, always second-guess those things. You can always second-guess those motives. You can always go back and look at him, see if you can get it snapped a little bit quicker. But I really believe we can get our operation time a little bit faster there to be able to save that timeout, still be able to click off, potentially get the pass interference, have a couple more snaps there, save the timeouts, and be able to use them there to get that field goal a little bit closer.
No balls. It makes no sense. It made no sense last night. Everybody around the country is talking about it. You got a rookie quarterback. You don't make things harder for your rookie quarterback. You make things easier. Okay, Mooney gets it. You call a timeout. If he can move the ball, and again, then if you can use the middle of the field because they're trying to take away the
that's
size.
That's at least two extra plays.
All right, so you call a timeout there, and then if you could get within, again, better than a 56 for a journeyman kicker, maybe he makes it from 46. But you got to give your quarterback a chance. Raheem's explanation makes no sense. You know, I mean, it just, it defies logic. He's a coach. He's been in this game his whole life. And just own it. Just say, I made a mistake. I should have called a timeout. You thought you could do it quicker? What, the guy's going to run 20 yards? No, you lost 20 seconds. It makes no sense. I said I wasn't going to raise my voice anymore. There's game balls, no balls here on Dukes and Bell.
No balls.
No balls for the Colts, too, by the way.
No, man, it's just, it's...
No balls for the Colts. Had everything to play for. You're playing the Giants, you lose, and now you're out of the playoffs.
Started the Colts defense against the hapless Giants. I got -4 points in fantasy football in that game, by the way. Hey, man, we're hot. I'll take a break from my vocal cords. Let's hear from you guys. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Dukes and Bell, we want to hear from you. I'm upset with everybody from Arthur Blank to the general manager to the coach. The refs, look, you're not going to win that argument. The refs were crappy for both teams, although a ticky-tack penalty really did change the complexion
kitchen
of the game.
Kitchen personnel, the equipment guy up in Flowery, yeah. All of them.
What do you guys think? I mean, even Kyle Pitts, if I told you we got a touchdown from Pitts and we lost the game? I mean, he got in the game, man. 404-726-0929. This hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Your call's next. Carl just posted a picture. He's got a giant piece of prime rib that he's already preparing, getting ready for the New Year's feast.
Nice.
And by the way, give a shout out. I should give a game ball. I'm getting ready. We're doing a gig on New Year's Eve. My buddy Ron, Captain Ron Band, and we're going to be playing at Braylon down in Peachtree City. And we did this last year. And last year it was, it was just kind of fun. A little bit of a mix of rock and roll and dance music. This is all 70s. All 70s for New Year's Eve. So I got to learn all these drum parts. And,
game balls.
No, not my wife. I'm just saying the game balls for Becky. Because if you ever listen to a disco beat, chicka chicka pop, chicka 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 pop, chicka chicka, it does get a little repetitive. And there's nothing worse, and I know this as a drummer, than listening to drums without music accompanying it.
Right.
And so I was practicing yesterday, and I must have played Rock the Boat about 50,000 times. It's an offbeat.
Well, Dave Grohl mentioned the fact he stole from Gap Band's drummer.
Right.
Tommy Thompson.
But Orin, I'm telling you, Rock the Boat seems like an easy part, but it's an off, it's like just a slightly off, like off the beat tom part. Yeah, and so I literally played that about 15 times in a row. So anyway, game ball to Becky for having to listen to that all day yesterday before the game started. On that note, a bunch of guys want to sound off. We're hot. We're frustrated. Rob and I were just downstairs on the 8th floor getting some coffee, and I said to Rob, I go, I'll ask Coach. I mean, look, you got to be, guys, you have to understand this. You got to be respectful because, you know, we work with this guy, and he's always been, you know, as forthcoming, maybe not as forthcoming as Coach Smith was at times, but, you know, you can ask him. I say, look, I can't come on the air and say something and then not say it to him. Like when we talked about Pitts, and I said, you know, we had Pitts on. I said, what do you got to work on? Because we feel sometimes there's things you need to be better at. You can't not, I mean, that's Jim Rome. Now, don't get me wrong. Jim Rome makes zillions of dollars, and he's onto another network deal. But I've always felt it's disingenuous to say something, then when you have the person on, not address it. So to me,
and that whole thing with Jim Everett was staged,
right? But my thing with coaches, just I think fans out, it wouldn't change anything. But would you feel better as a fan if Coach Ra just said, "I screwed up. I was probably too worried at the end of the first half about Jaden Daniels getting the ball back. Probably should have done more things to get a 6 instead of 3." And then at the end, say, yeah, man, I screwed up. I needed it. There's no way that logic flies. That word salad that we played there at the end of No Balls.
Well, it's self-sabotaging in a way due to perspective and what people view you as,
right.
as a fan base does.
We want to hear from you guys. Let's get to the calls right now. Scotty's up first. Hey, Scott. Hey, man, you're on 99 The Game. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good, brother.
Good. Mike, I listen to you and Carl almost every day.
Thanks, brother.
Rob. I always try to catch the Falcons flyover. I love you both. Here's where I'm at. I pay a lot of money for tickets. I'm with you, Mike. I know you're a season ticket holder. I'm beyond frustrated because I'm so tired of our team underachieving. And it's like no matter who we have on the roster, we just underachieve. It feels like an organizational problem. I don't know. But with this roster alone, it seems like we should have been able to at least – get into the playoffs. That should have been the expectation. Anything less than that is a colossal failure.
Right.
And Mike, I was wondering if you, if possible, I don't know how it works, if you and Carl could possibly get Arthur Blank on the show sometime and ask him going forward what his expectations are, why he hired Coach Morris, because if we failed this badly with this roster, I want to know what Coach Morris told him or what it was that got him this job and why, you know, who, if it's not him that pays for it with this season, with this colossal failure, who's going to be responsible and how, you know, Arthur Blank's not getting younger. So right. How is he going to rectify this so that we have a chance at a Super Bowl before, you know, before he, you know, before the end of his life, per se.
No, it's a great point.
And thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you being a loyal listener, brother. A guy hit us up on the text line saying, go call Ben Johnson, who didn't want to get off the porch last time when the interviews were going around to take a head coaching job. You come in with a Michael Penix and all the weapons that we've got. It's an attractive job for the right offensive coordinator. But unfortunately, to your point, Arthur Blank, and like we asked him a couple of times. We asked him last year. We asked him the year before. Remember, guys, let's take it back chronologically. The Deshaun Watson thing. Whose idea was it? Is it Fontenot's? Is it Arthur's?
Well, you said Arthur kind of deflected the whole thing.
Nobody wants to take ownership of it. So you basically, what could have maybe been the last year with Matt Ryan, maybe you get something out of it, maybe you don't. But the team that goes and wins seven games with Mariota, I think could have won more with Matt Ryan.
Right.
But you basically have to get him out of there for a third-round pick because you marginalize him in the locker room because you know he's out there because somebody thought it was a good idea to try to get in a pissing contest with Jimmy Haslam over how much money it's going to take to get Deshaun Watson. Now, the good news is it's a train wreck that would have probably pushed us back even further. But whose idea? So it's got to come from somewhere. I thought it was Arthur. Arthur didn't want to own it. Arthur is a meddler. He says he's not. He is. He just is.
You know he is.
He wants to win in the worst way. He doesn't know how. Terry Fontenot has made some big mistakes. Bijan, I mean, look, I like that pick. I mean, we can't argue with that. Bijan is a rock star. But he's really missed on, like, Victoria Anderson. Can't stay healthy. We haven't drafted edge rush. This year, we had all these impact players that were taking. We went Ruka Roro, who may be something, but it was never seen as a second-round pick.
Well, he can't stay healthy either this year.
I mean, look, I'll give credit where credit's due. I'm not going to make this like a one-sided thing. He's drafted well in the offensive line. We've got better offensive line depth than we've ever had.
Maybe drafted better in the latter.
Bergeron's a good piece.
Bertrand looks like he could be a good player, too.
Right. So it's not all bad, but when you go with Pitts, you ride and die with Pitts. And it was great to see our quarterback get Pitts involved. I think if you're the Falcons, I think it's you let Pitts play it out next year, and that's it. I don't give him a contract extension. He's going into his fifth year next year, and that's it.
Well, maybe it's a thing where you know how Kirk Cousins had really good chemistry with Drake London, the point where he was maybe over-relying on him.
Right.
Is it possible that Penix and Kyle Pitts seem to be simpatico?
Well, that's
something you can't really coach or quantify. It just happens organically.
He almost hit Kadarius Hodge. You know, it was Penix was amped up. He missed some throws. Yeah. But then, look, he still put you in a position to win the game. And he got Kyle Pitts involved, which is something that nobody, save for the Tampa Bay game, has been able to do. Mark's hanging out. Hey, Mark, appreciate your patience. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell with Rob. What you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
hey,
brother.
Hey, you know, I think that, you know, with all that has happened the last couple of years, the hope is just seeing Penix, you know, with this loaded team that you do have a quarterback.
Right.
You just got to start getting the other things right. And like you said, Raheem, he's done this all year. He cannot keep making excuses for bad situations. I don't know if that's a Home Depot corporate thing or what, but somebody got to get him training on football 101 like a Mike Tomlin-esque and take it. Take responsibility and say you're going to go in the locker room and kick some butt and come back out fighting.
I'm with you. I mean, sometimes we joked around about what was the line about Russell Wilson. We have a guy on our buddy, is it Albright from KOA in Denver? And his line about Russell Wilson in Denver was toxic positivity. The way that Russell.
He's just weird.
Yeah. You know, the way that Russell was always like, hey, everything's great. Can't wait. All right, everybody. Right. You know, it was just all that. And sometimes with Ra, and that was the thing, you know, we said. Now with Arthur Smith. Different style altogether. Arthur would talk in like a circle, and you wouldn't get. Now, I will say this. Arthur would give us some stuff off the record, so we would be accurate in our appraisal of what the team was doing, you know, and not every coach does that. But, I mean, but Arthur, at the end of the day, I think he took simple things and made them more complicated. Ra takes things that everybody knows isn't working and says it's all fine, like Dan, a lot like Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn would say nothing. Who's our right guard this year? Oh, we're working. Great competition. Iron sharpens iron. Well, who is playing right guard? You know, it's frustrating.
All gas, no brakes.
All gas, no brakes.
1% better every day.
You betcha. Embrace the suck. Let's get the Navy SEALs out here. Well, maybe you should have the Navy SEALs play linebacker. Let's go with Tim. Hey, man, Tim, you're on 92.9 The Game. What you got?
Hey, guys. I listen to you guys all the time. I'm a civil engineer, so I listen to all shows.
Thanks, man.
I said before they got Kirk Cousins, he's older. He couldn't move his feet, and they schemed him for off net zone, and they locked him down. But with Penix, they didn't roll him out but one time last night.
Mm-hmm.
One time. And they just watched Jane Daniels just run all over the field. And I'm like, why won't you roll him out or do a bootleg to buy him time?
It's a good question. You know? And like, we haven't really, it's been all about 90% on Coach Ra today.
I don't have a big, huge gripe with the offense. Was it perfect?
Well,
no. Did he miss some throws?
I just thought the one thing you get on Zach, and that's something certainly could be in the arsenal, but I thought Zach, the one thing was glaring for me with Zach Robinson is they dominated time of possession. They know, everybody in the world knows you're going to come out running the ball on first down.
Yep.
I don't watch the TV feed. I listen to Arch and Wes. And Arch said it. This is a great opportunity right now for some play action. And we just ran Bijan. He got stopped. And now you're behind the sticks, three and out. And, you know, you took as much time as you could, but you burned less than 2 minutes. And then they're right back on the field. And your defense is right back on the field. And they're freaking gassed.
Do you think the jury's still out on Zach as OC?
I mean, I think there were limitations those first few games with Kirk.
Your quarterback limited what you
right.
could do.
And then, but I always thought with Kirk, he's a play-action guy. He's one of the best play-action passers. Wasn't a big part of it. You know,
put him in the pistol then.
But when you're trying to do the zone read, you're going outside, you've got to have some athleticism in the stretch. And maybe Kirk wasn't capable of doing that. That's why they had him in the pistol, which he throws all those picks in the pistol.
Right.
Look, I love Penix's game. Penix is again, I think it was 80% of his snaps at Washington were in the shotgun. So he's going to continue to evolve under center. But I think you see what happens. The ball comes out quickly, crisply, on schedule. I mean, he just missed some throws last night. We got time for one more, Oren. I got to go to Jason. Hey, man. Jason, you're on 92.9 The Game. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, last night, I was kind of distraught, brother. I went to bed because, you know, usually when Falcons do something, I'm like, well, it's just going to be over. As soon as Jane Dunn scored that last touchdown, I was like, oh, it's over. So then I lay down in bed, cut the TV on, and watched it. I said, I want to watch the rest of it. This might be the last game of the season. And then I go see, we're going down the field. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And then we don't call the timeout. I'm screaming at the TV, call the timeout. Call the hell timeout. I know people in my house is like, what the hell is going on in that room? I'm screaming at the TV, call the timeout. We don't call the timeout.
Right.
The guys played well last night. They played very well. Probably the best I've seen them play in a while, and I've been to a few games myself. But they played well last night. None of that was on the team. That was all on coaching, all the way around.
Yeah, we talked.
You didn't use Tyler enough.
Right.
It should have been a tandem back. One back hit, the other back hit. And then, you know, when we pass. But, you know, the guys played very well last night.
Appreciate the call, big guy. I thought the same thing. I thought the defense was gassed. I thought, you know, if Rod got involved with Jimmy and they were talking about how to maybe address things. But I just felt, you know, four and at times five guys going up the field, you were just creating these open lanes. Because let's be honest, Cliff Kingsbury said, our plan is pretty simple. If he can't find Zacchaeus, because A.J. Terrell completely shut down McLaurin last night, if he didn't see Zacchaeus, he was just taking it out.
Or give Alamide Zacchaeus a game ball. That was like a reckoning last night, feasting on his old
but
team.
But I would disagree with the caller because I thought tackling was piss poor. I thought the tackling was terrible last night.
It was.
I mean, they were letting guys just get away. You're not wrapping up the running backs. You're not wrapping up Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, literally, the game of his life against the Falcons. You're right. Great jam right there. See, Orange was in. Boom, boom. Doom. It's a little bit offbeat with the tom. And I've been this has been messing with my head for like 2 days now. I'm not trying to play Keith. I'm not saying it's Keith Moon to play the Hughes Foundation. I'm just saying, for this guy, my right brain, the right hand is not hitting the tom in the right spot.
We need Ginger Baker to hit you across the face. Just keep time.
Boom. Boom. See, it's off the beat. For me, that's off the beat. We'll come back and we'll talk to Connor Riley. You got dog fans hanging outside the hotel. They're doing a dog walk as the dogs head to practice. Getting ready for Notre Dame. They love Gunner, but can Gunner deliver the goods? Next.